This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
All right, good morning. We will call Senate Local Government to order. We have pages here. Would you come up and introduce yourselves? Tell us where you're going to school and what your future plans are.
Hi, I'm Maddie Jones from Pierre. I'm still undecided on where I'll attend college, but I plan to major in biology.
My name is Brigitta Rasmussen. I'm a senior at Alcester Hudson High School, and next year I will be attending the University of Nebraska for Ag Education and Ag Business.
Great. Thank you for being here. I want to welcome all our internet listeners and remind everyone to sign in if you're going to testify. Could I have the secretary call the roll, please?
Senator Kamak.
Here.
Senator Ewing.
Here.
Killer. Excused. Maher. Excused. Nelson, excused. Youngberg.
Here.
Langer.
Here.
We have a quorum, barely. All right, our first bill up this morning is House Bill 1117, revised certain provisions regarding golf carts and state highways. Representative Bartling.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Did you need a motion to approve the
minutes? Oh, yes. Sorry. Thank you.
That's the motion I was going to make.
Well, thank you, Senator Kamak. A motion to approve the minutes. And Senator Ewing will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The minutes are approved.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Personal privilege?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
There was an individual that made an infraction during the last meeting of his cell phone going off. So as soon as the folks at the table here get a piece of jerky, I would ask the page to come up and hand it around the audience also. So I beg your...
Yes, thank you for that, Senator. We love jerky. Thank you. All right, with that, Representative Bartling. Good morning.
Whoa, that's kind of tall. Let's go down. Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. Representative Julie Bartling, District 21 from the Burt Gregory area. It's a great opportunity to come before you today. This table seems really close to you guys. I'm not sure if it is or not, but...
It does.
I'm looking right in your eyes. That's really nice. Yes. Okay, well, let's go there.
We're not too mean.
Oh, I know. You're a great committee. So thank you again. House Bill 1117 is a bill that myself and the other sponsors brought kind of as a constituent bill, but I'm finding out that there are other people around the state that have an interest in this bill. And so it's a bill that regards how golf carts might be used by individuals in their own small communities. And so in visiting with the Department of Transportation, we wanted to see if there was a way we could kind of clarify what the language says so that individuals who, number one, have a driver's license, number two, have a golf cart that has all of the safety features that go with the driving of a golf cart, as you can see in the bill, how they might be able to travel on certain streets within their cities that are actually highways, South Dakota highways. And so we visited about changing the language just a little bit so that if the cities, by ordinance, would adopt such that they would allow the use of these golf carts on a highway that's within their platted boundaries, not under their jurisdiction, because that becomes kind of a gray area when you talk jurisdiction, because a state highway is of course, the state of South Dakota's jurisdiction. So we amended the bill to state that they would permit the use of golf carts on a highway within its platted boundaries. That way an individual who would happen to be traveling on a street that turns into a highway, a designated highway, as long as they're within the city boundaries, they can travel on them, meet all the other requirements, and they can travel from point A to point B within their own cities. So it's really quite simple. It still maintains the ability to cross a highway at a 90-degree angle if you're out of the city limits and things of that nature. But this is just clearly to kind of provide for the ease and of individuals within a jurisdiction. I'll give you, or within the boundaries, an example that I have within my own district is the city of Springfield. Highway 37 travels from the north down to Springfield, and then it angles out going back west, ending out at the river. Well, that highway travels through the town limits of, through the boundaries of Springfield. And so a gentleman was interested in being able to travel from his home, which is on highway, on the street or Highway 37, to the local coffee shop, which is also on Highway 37. So he wouldn't have to go jig-jogging around town and whatnot. He could just make a straight shot. In the city of Gregory, it is divided by U.S. Highway 18. And if you are on the south side of U.S. Highway 18 and you want to, number one, say you want to even just go out to the golf course, you can. There are certain areas where you cannot cross Highway 18. You'd have to travel on Highway 18 and then turn north. So this would clearly just be if the local town wanted to by ordinance. It's all local control. It really isn't changing it too much just then, other than clarifying the language. And so with that, Madam Chair and committee members, I'd appreciate your support, and I will certainly stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony? House Bill 1117. Any opponents? Well, that's pretty easy. We like that. I will close that portion and open up for many committee questions.
Madam Chair.
Senator Maher.
I would have a question for the good representative.
Sure, go ahead.
My question is, Representative Bartling, talk about what the House amendment did. The bill was changed over in the House side there at one point. What were you clarifying or changing? You were deleted some language and... And what was the crux of all that?
Yes, Madam Chair. Yes, the language that we had originally drafted said under the jurisdiction of the municipality, and that is where the conversations with DOT came in, where we actually changed it to within the platted boundaries. So that was the amendment, to make that very clear that that highway has to be within the municipal boundaries.
So, thank you.
Just for clarification.
Anything else? Any further committee questions? I would move to committee discussion and or action. Senator Ewing.
Madam Chair, I would move due pass on House Bill 1117.
Second. I have a due pass motion by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Youngerberg. Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor, aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Senator Ewing.
Aye.
Killer, excused. Maher.
Aye.
Nelson, excused. Youngerberg.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
This will move to the Senate floor unless we have further action. Senator Kamak.
I would move consent.
I have a motion and a second for consent. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? This will be placed on our consent calendar. Thank you, Representative. You bet. Moving on. That was pretty easy. House Bill 1165, provide for annually updated financial interest statements for any person elected to federal, statewide, or local office. Good morning, Representative Jameson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Greg Jameson, District 12 House. Today is House Bill 1165. Thank you for the jerky, first off. Thank you. Madam Chair, you read or... somebody read the first two lines of the bill, really states it all. And actually, before I get started, I need to thank the Secretary of State's office. This bill was written in conjunction with their help. Chantel Krebs and her staff helped me through this. And basically, all we're doing in this revision is to include all those other people who are elected to four-year terms and six-year terms within the state, that they be required to fill out the financial interest statements. As legislators, we do it generally about every other year, but some of those other individuals would only do it once, and a lot can change in a year. And the intent behind all of this is to provide transparency to the elected officials, allow the voters to figure out who they've elected and where their incomes are coming from. We have received support from the Municipal League, Yvonne Taylor, and the Municipal League, I should say. It is targeted towards first-class cities only in those school districts with 2,000 people or more, students or more. And the intent there is that in a lot of smaller communities, it's a challenge to find individuals to run for office. And if more paperwork seemed as a challenge to them, we kind of wanted to eliminate that barrier. And that was the reason for going with first-class cities. And I don't. The other part that's in here, which was important through the Secretary of State's office, was the Class 2 misdemeanor if you fail to comply and or mislead with your statements. That gives her and that office the teeth to enforce those rules. And so that's very important. Any other questions, I'll stand by. Otherwise, I urge your support.
Thank you. Further proponents for House Bill 1165. Any opponents? Ooh, Secretary of State's office is here. We are on proponent, or we can be back on proponent testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Chantel Krebs, Secretary of State. I believe you're on House Bill 1165. We just came from the other committee. Representative Jameson had worked with our office, and our office does file the financial interest statements for elected officials as well as appointments and their financial interest statement if they are appointed to that. And so we do support and appreciate Mr. Jameson working with us, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, now we will go to opponents. Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and go to committee questions. Senator Kamak.
I have a question for the Secretary of State.
Sure, go ahead.
If you would walk us through the procedure, if life happens and if someone inadvertently misses the deadline to file that piece of paperwork, tell me what the procedure is.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, South Dakota Secretary of State Chantel Krebs. So if a financial interest statement is not filed pertaining to an elected official, or meaning particularly a candidate, in Title 12 in our election law, in Title 12-27-29.1 and 29.3, there is a statute there that would say potentially removal from the ballot if they fail to file the financial interest statement or anything in that chapter pertaining to candidacy filings. And that's for the candidate. There's nothing in statute that clarifies in 3-1A, which is your title for elected officials and appointments, for anything that if they fail to file, what the penalty is. There's no teeth, so to speak.
I see.
Thank you. Further questions? Any other committee questions? I'd move to discussion and or action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Maher.
I would move due pass on House Bill 1165.
Second.
I have a due pass motion by Senator Maher, seconded by Senator Ewing. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Killer, excused. Maher.
Aye.
Nelson, excused. Youngberg.
Aye.
Langer.
Aye.
Bob.
House Bill 1165 will move to the Senate floor with a due pass motion unless we have further action.
Madam Chair.
No.
No.
No. This will not be placed on our consent calendar. We will hear this on the Senate floor. Any further committee action this morning? Senator Maher, you missed the jerky. It's somewhere.
Madam Chair, with that, yes. With that last action, he gets no jerky.
Oh, I would agree. No jerky.
It was disrespectful.
I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Senator Kamak, seconded by Senator Youngberg. All those in favor? Opposed? We are adjourned.